Thanks for waiting, guys, for that break. This is going to be, an interesting morning. We have several things to do, and they all take, small slices of time. Hey, happy Mother's Day. Yeah. We have jokesters in our midst. We love them. You can take your Bibles if you have them and turn to Matthew 6. So last week I taught on Matthew 6, and we basically finished the whole passage except for one verse. So I thought I would finish the teaching by talking about the one verse. But I also promised you guys I'd just tell some stories. And this is really just the ending 10%, 20% of last week's message. But I want to read the passage because it's not hard to understand it. And we'll get right back into some of our thought processes we were in. And I am so excited. I am very jazzed that Jesus communicates these truths. He communicates them. They're recorded more than once. And let's read them together. In verse 20, Matthew 6, verse 25, if you're in a house Bible, it's on page 685. If you're still looking for it, it says this. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap, or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We can all amen the last part. And I just want to tell you some stories. And I always appreciate stories in teachings. And we've already walked through the passage. And let's just hear about different people's lives. And sometimes the stories we talk about are just stories in this room. Sometimes they're stories in biographies. Sometimes they're stories from people I know. But I want to start with, a story in my life. So we talked about is God knows, he sees, he's a father, he delights. And one of the ways, as we think about, in our larger series, we're talking about money, as we try to think about money correctly, is we have to know the reason things will go well for us in the future is because we have a father that takes care of us. Jesus wants us to know we have a father that takes care of us and we are not supposed to worry. Now, there was a... some of you guys have heard this story, and it's affectionately called in the Pullen household the Bumpy Van story. And it's called the Bumpy Van story because it's about a van, and the shocks weren't very good in the van, and so our son called it the Bumpy Van because when you rode in it, it was bumpy. And someone in this church, or someone who used to go to this church, they gave the church a van. And this van was, when he gave it to us, he said, "Hey, I want to give this van to a needy family, a single mom, somebody that would have some need for a vehicle." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, I don't know if we have anyone in our church currently that would fit this van. But we will certainly pray and look for somebody." And he's like, "Well, I'd like to give it anyway and just trust God with that." And so it sat in Owen's driveway for 7 months. Around about month six, Owen didn't want it in his driveway anymore. And I started thinking about, if we don't use this car, it won't work. And Owen said, "Brandon, you're needy. Let's put it in your name." And it took me a while to think about that, but I did. I put it in my name, and I became the owner of the Bumpy Van, and I did it just in time to use the van for a big outreach we did here when El Paso came, and we passed out a bunch of flyers. You remember that. Then I walked into working with the college students, and I put banners in that van, and we went to Faith Walkers conferences, and I hauled students around in it, and it was actually really helpful to have a big old van, and I was like, this is good. But some things changed. I was going to do less and less campus ministry and pass that on. And so I was trying to figure out what to do with a gas hogging van. And there was something else going on in our household. My wife was having trouble keeping the food budget. Staying under the food budget. We have three young children that some people try to get their kids to eat. Our kids eat fine. And they eat well, and they were growing and eating and doing things that kids should do, and we were having trouble feeding them with the amount of money we had set aside, except that there wasn't more money. And so I came up with a plan. I don't need the Bumpy Van anymore to do student things. Let's sell the Bumpy Van and use the money. But it worked like this. We had a student loan, and we were paying $100, $200 a month toward the student loan. The amount left on the loan equaled the value of the van. If I sell the van, I can pay off the loan, and then the money that we are paying toward the loan every month, we can put toward food. And my wife looked at me and she said, "Brandon, you're a genius." And I was like, "Yes, yes, I am a genius." And that is exactly what we are going to do. And so I put the van up for sale, and I immediately got somebody that wanted the van. And so he came over and he was very excited. The van was in decent shape and he liked it and all these things. But I had gotten a lot of people interested in the van. And so I determined, because of the amount of people that was interested, I was going to sell it for full price. Well, he came and tried to not get it at full price. And so I said, no, I'm going to do full price. And he's like, "Well, I didn't bring that much." And I was like, "Well, we can meet tomorrow." And because of my oversight, there was something I needed to fix on the title, actually. And so we agreed, tomorrow we'll meet. And we shook on it. And I was like, "Man, I'm going to sell this van tomorrow for full price. This is great." And I went back into the house and I checked my text messages. And I had a message from a man. And this is what his text message read. He said, "Hi, my name is Pastor Mike Scott from so-and-so church. And I am looking for a Chevy Astro to give to a single mom in our church. Is your van still available? And I texted him back and I said, no, I'm sorry. I think I just sold it. But it was really interesting to me. I was like, God, do you want this to go to a single mom? Do you want this to go to someone who needs it? And I was like, if you do, God, if you do, you're going to have to get rid of the other guy. Because I shook. And that means something in this country. Not in every country, but in this country it means something. It should mean something to me. And so I'm going to keep my word and sell this van. So the next day we go to meet. This very excited man and his son show up to get this, and all of a sudden he gets cold feet and he doesn't buy it. He actually convinces himself what was an amazing van is now a piece of junk. And so then he walks away. And I think, and I am stunned. And I walk back in the house and I go, oh God, what are you doing? And so I immediately check out this guy, this Mike Scott. He actually is a pastor. He actually does have a church. And I go, huh, look at this. This is interesting. And so then I think, well, now I need to have a conversation with my wife who thinks I'm a genius. So I walk into my wife and I'm like, I'm wondering if God wants us to give this van away. And it was a sad moment for us. It was a sad moment. Finances had been tight, and they were not going to be tight. And my wife had struggled under specifically our food budget. And it was sort of sad, but she was awesome. She was like, well, you do what you think is good. And then I still hemmed and hawed a while, and then she was like, Brandon, just make this decision. You know you're supposed to do this. And I was like, yeah, I think I am. And so I called Pastor Mike Scott up and I said, hey, come over and look at the van. I think I want to give it to you. And so he came over to look at the van and he started telling me about his church. And it was fun. It was fun to hear about this church, and he said all these phrases I got just jazzed about. He's like, oh, we're a small church, but we're a family, and we take care of each other, and we just do life together. Do you remember our flyers we passed out, like, thousands of? Do you remember what it said on it? Doing life together. And we started talking, and he's like, and so there's a single mom in our church, and she didn't take any of the brothers with her to go look at a car, and she bought a car, and it was a lemon, and it didn't last 2 months, and now she doesn't have a car, and I've been looking for a van for her for the past 2 months, and just praying and asking the Lord, and I'm beginning to go, oh, this is going to be really good. And then he goes, oh, and she runs our children's ministry, and she gets her kids there. And then she borrows my car, and she goes into the neighborhood, and she picks up kids to come to church to go to the children's ministry program. And I go, oh, this is great. And I tell him, hey, hey, this is sort of the situation in the story. We want to give you the van. He cried. And I go, wow. So he says, so he said, hey, I'll bring someone, I'll go pick it up tomorrow. I say, okay, great. I go home and tell Jennifer, this is great, this is awesome. He cried, beautiful, it all checks out, let's do it. He comes back the next day. And he has a big box, like a big, like carrier all on your shoulder, like a big box. And I go, what's this? And he's like, this is for you. And he goes, yeah, there's a grocery store I have a relationship with, and we give out food in our church, and he tells me a big long story, and at the end of the story, basically, was that this grocery store had given him a box full of meat because of the relationship, and they cared a lot for him, and he goes, I know who I want to give this to, and he brought it over, and I have a huge box of meat, and now I'm crying. Because he could have brought over a bicycle or some clothes or lots of things. But I wanted the van to buy meat. Honestly. And now I have a box of it. And I felt like God pulled back the curtain and he said, Brandon, I'm right here. You're going to be just fine. And I went, yeah, I'm going to be just fine. And so I wasn't planning on going home, but because I had meat, it tends to go bad. And so I went home, and Tim's like, what are you doing? And why are you home? And I was like, this is for you. And I drop a big box of meat in front of him, and that was sort of fun. And then he did it again a few months later. He's like, I have another box of meat for you. I was like, this isn't... I go, God, you are so good. And we're going to be just fine. But the story doesn't end there. The next day, we went up. We have a relative who lives in Glendale, and we visited, and they say, oh, it was May. And they're like, yeah, we have a food distribution center, and all the people that normally get the food, they all left because it's 100 and whatever degrees outside now. And all this food is going to go bad, so please take it. They're telling their congregation, please take this food or it's going to go bad. And she's like, so I've got these bags of food and this cooler. Can you use it? Do you want it? And I'm like, sure, we'll take it. And so I leave for a trip, and I can't get anything in the fridge or the cupboard. And it's so fun for me. It's like, it's so good. God, you're so good. God, you say, yes, seek me first. And I'll take care of it. And I'm like, yeah, it's the big God. Seek him first, he'll take care of it. But the story doesn't end there. So my wife is super encouraged. And so she goes, I'm going to tell everybody I know, which is why you all know the story. And some of you have lost jobs, she comes in and encourages you with the story. And some of you in this situation get encouraged, and it comes to float around different people that had need of it. And somebody comes up to me and says, hey, I want to be part of this story. And hands me an envelope of money that covered the loan. And I just was like, God, you just bought the van. You bought it. You gave it to me for free, and then I had the nerve to try to sell something you gave to me for free, and so you bought it. You just bought it. You just, like, I'm sitting here holding an envelope of money that God just bought the van. And so now I have two boxes of meat and bags of groceries and the money to pay off the loan. And I go, God, I'm probably never going to outgive you. Never going to happen. I went to we're in the process of buying a house. And we were just praying to God about the process of buying a house and what we should do. And houses are more expensive than they used to be around here. And trying to figure that out. And through a weird government program that we didn't apply for, we've been given $10,000. The place we rented went into foreclosure. So then they short sold it. They processed the short sale through the housing affordability bunch of names, I don't know. And as they processed it, if you have a short sale, the government gives you $10,000 to relocate. So the guy who owned our apartment would get $10,000 to relocate because he short sold. Except he doesn't live in the property. I do. So I get the $10,000. And I'm like, God, you're giving me $10,000 to move. And I go, okay, I think it's time. I think you want me to buy a house. You gave me the money, and I can't stay here anymore. I go, God, you're so good. Every time I've needed something, I remember Jen and I were in a place where we didn't have a car. We didn't have a car. We weren't going to have a car. It was a little tense. And Jen was really praying for a car. She's praying for a car. We're borrowing a car, but it's sort of like, we really need to give this car back. And so she's praying for a car and praying for a car and praying for a car. And then God is so fun. A car came in a cereal box. You know my wife. My wife was so mad. She's like, God, that's not what I'm talking about. And I'm like, that's awesome. We were given a car. We were praying for a car. Because we needed one. And God's like, that. All these stories shouldn't be me. Let's keep going. So a lot of these are going to be my friends. I have a friend who didn't have. He was the epitome of seek first. He went on a church plant, and you know he gets to set his salary because he's the pastor, and so he sets it low. I can just make it. And so he didn't like do anything like, you know, save up for his kids or save up for a new car or save up for insurance going up, or he just. We can get a building, and we can get a new pastor, and now we can get there. And he just sought God's kingdom first, and then he moved into a house around where their church was. And in 3.5 years, the house more than doubled. He sold it for over $500,000, where he put his family. And he sits here and he goes, you know, there's, you know, if you go to the seminars and they say, what you should do is you should buy low and you should sell high and you should have this kind of house in the neighborhood and not the upper end house on the neighborhood. And there's all these ways to make money on a house. He's like, I didn't do any of that. He's like, I wanted to be by this family and I wanted to be by this family and I was discipling this family. And so I wanted a house right here. And so there it was. And now he goes, Now it's taken care of. He's taken care of so much with that. And he sought God's kingdom first. I have another someone I know, less of a friend. Maybe you guys, some of you know him, Drew Mulhully. He's got 4 kids. They were doing, their church was planning a church. And so he's like, I want to be a part of that. And so he gave to the fundraising campaign. And he didn't give a little bit. He like dug deep. He's got 4 kids, but he dug deep because he just wanted to. And he knew it was going to hurt. He knew he was trusting God that he was going to be okay, but he did it. It's the most amazing story. 2 months later, his job says, "Hey, we're going to do a market adjustment on everybody's jobs. We think yours will probably go up." And he goes, great, yeah, I think I'm probably a little underpaid. And so he goes, I think it'll probably go up 5%, maybe 7%. They came back, his salary went up 22%, over $2,000 a month. And he just goes, God, you're so good to me. I'm probably not going to outgive you, trust you, and you are faithful. I'll tell this last story here and then we'll have to move on. This is a college student story. You guys know Bree? Fort Collins, you'll probably hear this story in more detail and better, and you'll probably realize I got the details wrong. It's cooler than this, but this story's been going around because it's really cool. So if I'm correct, coming up pretty soon or past, $750 is due to go to LA for the summer. Is that true? So Bree goes, I want to go to LA for the summer, and we think it'd be good. I think God wants me to go. But she doesn't have the money. She doesn't have the $750. She doesn't look like she's going to meet her deadline. Her work comes to her and says, it has been through a lot of changes in different management and different bosses. Hey, we've looked at the records and it looks like we haven't paid you enough in all the craziness. And so we would like to pay you more, except we can't back pay you. We can only back pay you so many months legally. So on top of that, we're going to give you a $2 an hour raise. So she gets this extra check. The extra check is for $750. And it comes on the day that the $750 is due to LA. She goes, God, you answered my prayer.
last week we just talked about you're in a family and you have a father and your father is going to take care of you. And that's really almost everything the whole passage says. The only thing it doesn't say, the only command in there is to seek first His kingdom. And what Jesus is saying is we can orient our lives into just sort of feeding, I orient my life into feeding my body. I can orient my life. This is what my body needs food, my body needs clothes. I can orient my life that way. Or I can orient my life up toward God and seek first His things. That's what I can worry about. That's what I can wonder about. That's what I can have sleepless nights about. That's what can drive me. That's what can unite my whole life in a game, in a goal that can drive things. That's it. And Jesus goes, I want to free you from making your body sort of your God like that. I want to free you to be able to engage in really big things, the kingdom of God. And if you make God's concerns, God, what God cares about, what you care about, He'll take care of you. I thought that to myself when I was thinking through this teaching. I'm like, that's a lot of cares. Like, you're supposed to care, and then God cares, and then so then. But God will take care of you. But He's freeing you to care about His things. And most of the thrust of the passage is, hey, you have a Father. He's going to take care of you. He loves you. You're valuable. He knows. It's also like, seek first. Seek first. This care comes so that that can be your drive. You know, the earth is 6 sextillion tons. That's 26 zeros. Tons. You know, we're spinning right now to like 1,000 miles an hour. We travel 9 million miles a year. Right? We don't feel any of that because we're just in God's sort of machinery. We're in God's thing. Right? The earth's tilted at 23 degrees, and if it's tilted one way or another way, we couldn't sustain life on this planet. God takes the stars and He sticks them in their socket. He can roll out the sky and He can roll it up again. You think that God can take care of you? The guy that ignites the sun? He can guide your path. He can guide mine. And that is something to rest in. And we rest it in it. Care about what God cares about. Helps life be whole. Makes it feel a little right. Don't running around for what the pagans are running around after. And we're going to break bread here. And I want to read you a little passage in Exodus 12. We're going to read about the Passover. We're on page 48 here, Exodus 12, starting verse 3. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. You may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. And then it says that same night, eat them. Skip to verse 12. On that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Right? We know the story. They kill the lamb, they put it on the door, and death doesn't come. And then they're to commemorate it. So the Israelites look back and they go, that's the day death didn't come to my house. That's the day I was freed from slavery. That's the day. And they look back on it. That's the day they were free. A little bit like we look back at July 4th. We celebrate the day we were free as a country. So do they. And then in the New Testament, Jesus comes. He says, I'm the Lamb of God. And on the Passover, He died. This time the blood can get applied. But we apply it to our hearts. Hebrews says our consciences get sprinkled by the blood so that we can live a new life. And there is another lamb, and there is another freedom from slavery, and there is another place that death doesn't come to our house. And now we look back in communion the same way that the Israelites look back on the Passover, and we get to commemorate, we get to celebrate. And we get to remember the man that God revealed Himself as Jesus. And we get to remember the man. So we remember Jesus, and we commemorate, and we celebrate, and we say, that was it. That was the point where life changed. That was the point where I was free. That was the point where I was out of slavery. That was the point where my conscience got clear. That was it. And we remember together as a nation of faith. And so that's what we'll do here in communion. And I just want to encourage you to think about rest. It's happened. And so we can just rest in all those amazing truths. And so guys, why don't you pass out communion elements? And you guys can just spend a moment, bow your head, and take communion sort of individually, and I might play a few chords, and then we'll pray. For life, and that you gave your Son. Jesus, I thank you for your obedience. Jesus, I thank you that we get to look back and see the place where things all change for us, really for the world. I thank you for revealing yourself, for opening up insight into your plan and all that you've done and all that you've done for us. I thank you that we can rest in your truths of salvation, of forgiveness, of a Father that will take care of us. God, I thank you. I thank you for revealing. I thank you for your humility to reveal and your patience with us. I thank you that you have done it. It is finished. We trust it for us. We celebrate you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hey, thanks, guys. That feels good at the end of basically one long teaching these last 2 weeks. Okay. Could we turn off the lights? And this is sort of fun. I thought you'd like this.
Give me 1 second. Thank you. Sorry. Uh-huh. Hey. Hi. 2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about
that.
Hey,
Oi.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No,
not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that with a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all encompassing almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No.
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
Oh!
And they meet every requirement, don't they?
Oh my God. Moms are the best.
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours. They're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
You guys like that? Yeah. They made their point better than I'm going to. But. I wanted to say a couple Mother's Day words. I sat down and I go, okay, what are things that are Mother's Day are mothers? Big words that could probably be out for almost all mothers. What words fit? Sacrificial, that was on the list. It's only three. I stopped at three. Love. Right? That seems really, we'd all come up with love and sacrificial. And I come up with humble.
And I came up with humble because oftentimes, right, they're up, moms would be up early or up late or up in the middle of the night or whatever, and there's no fanfare. Lots of things that moms do are sort of expected to come to. And so there's this humility that comes. And so then I thought, loving, sacrificial, and humble. Who does that remind me of? Jesus. My God, you have put in this world pictures of all the amazing values, and then we all love them. And I thought of this verse. This is Philippians 2. It talks about, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God sent someone to this world to be loving and sacrificial and humble. And God's response to obedience to that was a name above every other name. And people here, moms and other people that walk in love and sacrifice and humility, you're going to walk into things Jesus walked into because you are displaying the same things that Jesus displayed here in the earth. And this is encouraging. That there'll be a sharing with Jesus in all those things. There'll be an inheritance that walks your way. And we celebrate Mother's Day because we recognize it's hard. Being a mother, it's hard. And that's why it's a calling. Right? 1 Timothy 2 says that you're saved through it. You're sanctified through it. God is working in you. And that's why it's hard. And so we just want to give honor where honor is due. Just even as believers, we want to give honor where honor is due and recognize and just say thank you. So this is how we're going to say thank you. We've got a gift for all the moms in the room. And so if you're a mom, you can stand, and then the rest of us we'll just give them some honor now. How's that? We'll just clap for them. Okay, mom, stand up, please. If you don't have your gift, keep standing. These are handmade with love for moms. From Desert's End, a.k.a. The Gambles. And Josh Meyer. Thanks, moms, for being pictures of Jesus for us. Bless. Are there any other announcements before we close? Okay. I got a couple quick ones. One, you're welcome to join us for a potluck.